and you see everything tank in the first month, especially when it comes to keyword rankings, don't necessarily freak out. With the introduction of GA4, we've started moving towards more engagement and how people are engaging with your website. And that's really helpful, kind of trying to filter out that spam traffic. Doesn't matter how hard you work on your product page, doesn't matter what kind of metadata you do, sometimes that keyword is just got an informational intent. And it will read it again, and it might take a couple of passes for it to realize that, okay, they've made these changes for a reason, and these changes are good, and they've been consistent, and okay, now I'll actually improve their rankings.
All right, so our first question is, what are the first steps we should take when setting up an SEO campaign?
So the first thing that you want to figure out are what are the aims of your website. So are you trying to just increase your brand awareness? Are you trying to get your messaging out there? Or are you trying to actually sell a product? Are you trying to raise awareness on this product? Are you trying to sell more of it? So once you've decided that, that will then heavily influence the kind of keyword research you're doing. And again, it's not necessarily all about brand awareness or all about sales. It can be a mix of both. So it's whether you're doing informational, transactional, or a mixture of both. And that will inform what kind of keyword research you're doing. So once you've kind of decided amongst yourself, I imagine had many meetings about it. So once you've got a solid decision on what are the aims of your website, who are you trying to attract and why, and how does this relate into your objectives, that's when you'll start on your keyword research. Usually when I come into the picture, when I work with a client, they've already decided all that, so I just come in and do the keyword research, and they already have a website built. So what will also affect the kind of keyword research you do is whether your website is already built or if you are in development stage. So quite a few people would ask, oh, well, when do I start thinking about SEO? When should SEO come into the conversation? It should come in right alongside web design. It should come in right alongside functionality. And the earlier you start with SEO, the easier it will be to incorporate it into the website. You'll start with your main keyword. So you might want to do this per product or per page. So it depends on the layout of your website. And you might want to do it in a hierarchy. So how I like to do keyword research is that I will work on the top level pages first, and then I'll work my way down. Because usually on websites, it's the vague information at the top, and then you get more specific as you go down. So we work the same way when we're doing keyword research. We find the vague keyword with a large search volume, and then we start drilling down into the more specifics. So if you use your main focus keyword as spectrometer, that's quite vague and has a lot of varying intents. So if you were to just put spectrometer in, it'll mostly be informational because people will be looking at what is a spectrometer, what do they do, what are they for? And this is Google looking through past searches. So when people have just put in spectrometer, what have they looked at in the past? What have they clicked on? And if you're being so vague as to just put spectrometer, you are just looking for what it is, what it does. So it and tends to be more informational. So that's where your search volume is quite big and people are just kind of looking for information on it. And this kind of keyword will help with your brand awareness. So if people are like doing research on spectrometers and then you start appearing for it, they may not be ready to purchase right there and then. They may be quite early on in their buyer journey, but if you keep cropping up throughout their research, they'll remember you subconsciously, and you slowly start becoming an authority in their mind. So even if they're not clicking on the article, but if they keep seeing you in the results, eventually they will. And especially later on when it comes to maybe purchasing a spectrometer, then they're like, oh, well, they've appeared all about what a spectrometer is, what it does. It really creates like a level of trust. So if Google trusts you and you appear a lot, people will start to recognize that and then also associate with you with a level of trust. So you, what you want to find first is your main, your main term, and then kind of branch off from there. So you create loads of different versions of that keyword. So you've got your main one, and then you want to add things in front of it, behind it. So this, what you add on the front and the end will massively change depending on what your intent is, what the intent of the website is. So, for example, if you were concentrating on just informational on getting your brand awareness out there, you might start writing more informational articles on telling people what a spectrometer is, what it does, what are the different types. So that's when you'll start using quite long tail, such as what is a spectrometer, uses of a spectrometer. And you can use a various amount of tools for this as well. So if you were to if you run Google Ads, you'll have access to a keyword planner. So what you're able to do there is you can put a short tail keyword or long tail, but for the purposes of this, we'll put a short tail one in, put a spectrometer, and then it will start pulling up what people are searching for. Different variations on this as well. So instead of just spectrometer, some people might search for spectrophotometer. So you might not have thought of that before. It might be relevant to you, it might not. So again, you've got to really add your knowledge on your own products. So you can filter out all the bad stuff, but have a look, see what kind of gets pulled up, because what comes up within Keyword Planner is what Google is already associating this keyword with. So if Google's already got a strong association of this keyword with others, great, and that will really help you with your overall content plan. Another great tool, especially for educational pieces, is Ask the Public. We like using that quite a lot because you can put in a really short tail keyword and it'll split off into hows, whys, what's, and you can start picking out what's important to you and your branding and what's important to this specific product. And then you can start making a whole content plan around those kinds of topics as well. So you want to use your smaller search volume terms on your product pages. You'd like to use them on ones that you're looking for conversions on. And this is where you'll find the quite small search volumes. They're the more specific ones. They're very descriptive of what the product is. So if it's a compact spectrometer, if it's a benchtop, so if it's a compact benchtop spectrometer, very likely a small search volume of less than 100. But those people know exactly what they want and are ready to make a purchase, or at least to inquire about a purchase. So when you start doing your keyword research, you'll kind of want two lists. You'll want a list of keywords that are for your product pages, and you'll want a list of things that will go on your content plan, or keywords that you'll build articles around, or, for example, your applications. So when it comes to doing keyword research just for your product pages, you'll want to look at variations of your product, and you'll also want to look about what is your product for and what is it a solution for? So we've got quite a lot of clients who have unique products that that don't exist anywhere else. So it's they've come up with a unique solution to a problem, and people don't know that it exists. That's why they come to us, so that we can improve on their branding and their awareness, but also kind of get the message out there. So this is where we start looking at what the problem is that this product's solving. If your product is a solution to a problem, when you put in that problem plus solution into different tools and they're coming up with zero, doesn't mean don't use it, because people are still looking for that problem. People are still putting that problem into Google and they're searching for it. So if you just add solution onto it, you're kind of highlighting to people that, oh, you're having this problem. Well, you don't need to infer that it's a solution. We have it. You're kind of signposting to them that this is a solution to it. So if you've got a product that you're not really sure on how to market because it's brand new and people don't know what it is, or there's no search volume for it, a good way to start getting rankings and to start getting your product out there is to tell people what it's a solution for. So it's not about you inventing terminology. It's not about trying to push this new keyword out there, and you'll get there eventually. For the what you want to start with in the first place is let people know what it's used for and why they want it. So, oh, you've got this common problem. Well, we've got this easy solution, and then eventually what you call this product will start getting out there. There's a lot of brand names that are now common search terms. So, you know, you want to start getting that traction through that. So I'd say when it comes to starting your keyword research, when it comes to products, drill down to exactly what it is. Don't use your own terms at the beginning. Don't use your brand name. If it's a spectrometer, call it a spectrometer. If it's compact, tell us. And if it's benchtop, tell us. If it's a unique solution to a common problem, tell us what that problem is and add solution onto the end. As long as you're in the character limit, and as long as you don't target too many keywords on a page. So the thing with SEO is that I always like to treat Google like a child. If you're directing it to a page, you want to keep it simple. You want to have clear messaging. If it's a page on a spectrometer, it's a page on a spectrometer. Don't start saying other things.
You talked about content there. So should we prioritize creating new content or optimizing the already existing content?
So I think it depends on the quality of the content already on your website. So when we come on board as a team, it's kind of a two-pronged approach. So yeah, you'll always have someone doing the technical SEO, and then you'll also have someone doing the content creation, which is SEO optimized content. So I'll go into the content side of it in a minute, but my approach will be that when I'm writing metadata for a website, when I'm doing keyword research for a website, when I manually read every page, and I'll be able to then make content suggestions based on what I'm reading. So you want to make sure that on the product pages, it's easy to know what the product is, that the keyword or descriptor of the product is in there, and it's in there enough that isn't keyword stuffy, doesn't look like you're just trying to attract Google to the page. You want to just make sure that the keyword's in there around two times, and it can happen more, but again, it can sound a bit keyword stuffy that you're trying to drive it home. So just make sure your keywords in there. It sounds natural. You're describing the product. That is a lot easier and less time consuming, though, because you can find that's quite easy fixes sometimes. So just going through and adding a sentence here or there. What is the real time consuming and does add a lot of value to the website is content creation. When you're creating content, that doesn't necessarily have to be about selling the product. What we found is that when you're trying to target keywords, that doesn't matter how hard you work on your product page, doesn't matter what kind of metadata you do, sometimes that keyword is just got an informational intent. So what your blog allows you to do is that you can still attract people who have an informational intent behind searching for the keyword and increase your brand awareness that way. So what you can do is answer questions that people have on this topic. And if people come to your website with a question and you're answering that, then you become trusted with them and they'll constantly come back to you with queries on this topic. And then if they ever get to the point that they're willing to buy a product, then they'll come to you because they've trusted you all the way.
Brilliant. So how can we ensure that our website's technical infrastructure supports our SEO goals effectively?
First things first, everything's functional. And then you want to make sure that it's accessible to everyone. And then you also then want to start looking at your internal linking structure. So as I mentioned, you want to make sure that your links work straight off the bat. But what you want to also make sure is that your website has a flow to it. So if you've got a product, when you don't necessarily have to link away from the product page, but if you do have links, how are they useful to the user? What are they going to find useful? So what we find is that through the use of maybe blogs, you can bring a lot of people with informational intent into the website and you're answering questions. What we can do with that is we can add links in that will lead them to maybe other blog posts or to a product as well. So if it makes sense, through a logical flow path. So you want to make sure that when you're creating the architecture of your website, that it flows and that it seems quite organic as well. So if you've written a blog post about spectrometers and their uses, and you're targeting spectrometer keywords, and then you've got a link on, say, the spectrometer keyword to a product page that's all about spectrometers, you're reinforcing that idea to Google that, yes, I know about spectrometers and I should be near the top. So the more that you talk about the topic and the more links that you have really strengthen that relationship. So the links aren't only physical representations, you're also telling Google that it's like your whole strategy links together.
Great. So you've touched a bit on the user experience there as well. Speaking of user experience, how important is mobile SEO and how can we ensure our campaign is optimized for mobile users?
So mobile SEO has become more important than ever because Google have a mobile first indexing policy. So they'll actually index the mobile version of your website first. So you want to make sure that, again, everything works. And you want to make sure that that's the version of your website that you want to present to Google because you are. And that's what it's reading. That's what it's basing its rankings on. And so the best way to make sure that you're optimized is in the design process. You want to have a responsive design approach. So you want to make sure that your website will respond to different resolutions, different screen sizes, instinctively. You want to make sure that your website looks good on all devices. So people tend to go on their mobile first, but what they'll also do is if they're within work and they're trying to research a product to potentially purchase on behalf of the company, they'll often be on their desktop. But what can then happen is that they'll do further research maybe on their iPad, or then they're also looking on their mobile phone. So you want to make sure that on desktop, tablet, mobile, your website is consistent all the way through, and that it looks good and is usable all the way through as well, because it reinforces the fact that you're trustworthy, and it's also good sense to just make sure that your website works and everything, because people have a computer in their pocket now, so you want to make sure that it looks nice.
Brilliant. And finally, once we set up all this campaign, what metrics should we track to measure the success of our SEO campaign?
So this will heavily depend on, going right to the beginning, on what are your goals? What are the reasons that you're creating this website? Are you just improving your brand awareness, or are you trying to get people to purchase the product? There's a variety of different things that will tell you whether your SEO has been successful. And an important thing to keep in mind with SEO is that it's a long process. So you might do all your keyword research, you might put it in place, you're not going to get results from it immediately. It's going to take a while, because Google has to kind of evaluate the changes you've made. So it'll read your website, notice that you've done something, and go, oh no, they're not consistent anymore. So what you want to, and then it'll read your website again, be like, oh, okay, actually this makes more sense now. And it'll read it again, and it might take a couple of passes for it to realize that, okay, they've made these changes for a reason, and these changes are good, and they've been consistent, and okay, now I'll actually improve their rankings. So a thing to keep in mind is that if you've done all this work and you see everything tank in the first month, especially when it comes to keyword rankings, don't necessarily freak out and change your entire strategy. You've got to let it wait for a while, see if it works, and then you can start making appropriate changes. So you do want to have a look at where you're ranking with your keywords. This has the keyword rankings are the ones that take the longest, because you're competing with every other website that does the same thing as you. And you're also just waiting for Google to read your website and evaluate. And the thing with keyword rankings as well is the intent behind the keyword might change. So user trends change over time. I've had it before where we've been page one for over a year, because people might have a transactional intent behind that keyword, and then all of a sudden people are looking more informationally. So the intent behind the keyword changes. Google will show them different pages just based on the fact that people are asking questions instead of looking to purchase. So that might drop. So that will also help you kind of change your keyword strategy as you go through. So you want to keep an eye on your rankings, and then you'll also want to have a look at the overall traffic of your website. So this will include your users, which are how many people are actually coming to the website, and you want to see if they're increasing year on year if you've got the data. So we always recommend year on year, just because when it comes to period on period, which let's, for example, just say we're comparing February to January, there's different amounts of days within that period, for one. And there's also very different shopping habits and different search habits. So they're not a direct comparison. The parameters aren't the same. So with year on year, you can have the same amount of days, the same trends. So for example, when you look at your entire year, you'll notice that there are peaks and troughs, depending again on what industry you're in. So you might see a drop off in summer, because a lot of people in your industry may take off some quite a big summer holiday. So, or same with around the festive period. So you'll find your peaks and troughs depending on what industry you're in. So if you do a year-on-year comparison, it kind of removes all of that out of the equation, and it's just straight up, how are you doing this year versus last year? And hopefully you'll see an increase within users. However, with the introduction of GA4, we've started moving towards more engagement and how people are engaging with your website. And that's really helpful, kind of trying to filter out that spam traffic, because sometimes you could be increasing by your users could be increasing by a significant amount, and you're thinking, yes, this is great, but you're not seeing a return on maybe conversions. So you're not seeing people fill out those contact forms. You're not seeing any PDF downloads. So with the introduction of engaged sessions, which allows you to make an engagement rate calculation, which is a percentage, it really helps you understand the quality of your traffic. So we like to use 6 different metrics for overall, and then we also track conversions. So we like to do users, new users. It just tells us how many new people we're bringing to the website. We also do page views, so how many pages are people viewing on the website, and then also sessions and engaged sessions. And the difference between those two is an engaged session will be if they've made a click, if they've made a scroll, if they've been on the page longer than 10 seconds, because previously someone could come on to a website, it'd be classed as a session, but they might have just bounced off immediately. So this is telling us that people are actually staying on page and they're interacting with the page. So when you're keeping an eye on your traffic, you also want to keep an eye on your engagement as well. So have a look at your users, see what they're doing. Are they increasing, decreasing? Are they staying the same? And then from that, you want to look at your engagement rate. So if your traffic's increasing, is your engagement rate also increasing? If it is, really positive, that means that you're bringing quality traffic into the website and you're bringing a higher quality. If you're bringing a lot of people into the website and your engagement rate stayed the same, also really positive, it means that you're bringing in a similar amount of quality traffic. If you're seeing it increase and your engagement rate decreasing, that's when you want to just have a step back, maybe figure out who you want to target differently, just because the people you're bringing into the website, you might be bringing a lot more people, but they're not engaging with the content. So you might want to take a look at that. And then on the flip side, if you're losing a lot of traffic, but your engagement rate staying the same, it could just mean that you're kind of filtering out all that bad traffic now. So use your users, use your engagement rate, and then also look at your conversions, or as they seem to be called, key events. So what are you determine what those are as well. So you'll set them up within Google Analytics 4. We always recommend contact form submissions, or maybe if you're doing more of an informational intent, have a look at how many PDF downloads you're getting. And that's just telling you how people are interacting with your website, if they actually are interacting with your website. And just another thing to keep in mind, that when you're having a look at all of this information on Google Analytics, is kind of break it down. So if you've got a big decrease in users, it might just be from a particular region. So have a look at where your traffic's coming from globally, or it might be to a particular page. So you might have taken a piece of content down. So you might have just lost a lot of traffic through there, and then you can reevaluate whether you want to put that piece of content live again. So there's usually a simple explanation to things. You just need to take a bit of a step back, and kind of break things down into simple pieces. So what's happening, and kind of then try and figure out where it's coming from, whether it be geographically or landing pages wise.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for your time, Eden.
Thank you, Zara.